and in our exercise of late. And remember what we're looking at in Galatians. We're looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, and the Spirit of God's ministry as it is, as he exercises it, is to what? Reveal the person and work of our Lord, so that we can know the benefits of God's presence. Now, keep in mind, if you would, and especially in the morning, if the Lord tarries. In the process, we're in the presence of God. You're always in the presence of God, always. But you would never know it, because God, in his grace, is exercising, looking for, God so loved the world that whosoever would believe. God's looking for believers to believe. That's what he's looking for. Where is he looking for them? In the dark. In the dark. If God was way, then be light. And there'd be no question. In the millennium, using it equal, another way to see it. In the millennium, there'll never be this kind of atmosphere in this kind of way. Same environment, same weather, same sun, same moon, same winter, same spring, but different. A sense of God everywhere. You don't have that. God's reaching to find whosoever's in the darkness. So therefore, hang on to that, especially in the morning. So, God's wonderful, wonderful person. How do we enjoy God's presence? The Spirit of God takes the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ and brings it to the forefront so that we can have the benefits and the reality of it. So the Spirit of God's ministry is to take the fruit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, to take the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. To do that, so that what is, now say it a different way, what is God like? What is it like to be in the presence of God? It's to be in the presence of the person, of his person, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, his nature, essence, being. Going to be in the presence of his love, his joy, his peace, his long-suffering, long before being angry, his gentleness. You're in the presence of it. God's helping us understand. The Spirit of God is to help you enjoy practically and profitably to enjoy God's presence. That's what it's for. And all of the attributes, here's nine of them, and 9 million of them, we don't even know them. And God helps us understand his person in a very personal way. Now, having said that, and looking at each little one to see how it works, that's why you got the New Testament, especially. Got the Old Testament, but you got the New Testament. The New Testament brings to the forefront. Old Testament, Christ is going to be crucified. New Testament, he is crucified. So the benefits that are coming, Old Testament, are to be found in the New Testament. We're living in the day. We're to be finding the benefits of Christ's death on the cross. So, and we looked at the word. We looked at the word and gentleness. And gentleness. And we shared together the root of that word, gentleness. And we went to Luke and 11:5 and all that. And where the fellow knocks on the door at midnight and says some visitors have come. Good old hospitality that was required. And therefore, I need to give him some bread and water and stuff. And I don't have any bread. So he went to his neighbor and knocked on the door and knocked on the door and pestered his neighbor. And because he needed some bread for his visitors. So, and in that, so therefore, lend me. He lent him, L-E-N-D, lent him, lent, up to put into the hands of another, to take from here and put it over here, to lend, to meet the need. This is our word, gentleness. Gentle, this is the root, to provide, gentleness, to provide, lend, to put into the hands of the other. And then we shared the words so we could see it all in action. And we looked at in Matthew 6, etc. My father, Matthew 6, 8 and 32. I know you want to know that. 8 and 32. My father knoweth the need. He knows the need right there. Your heavenly father, you don't have to look. He already knows your need. Gentleness to provide. And we shared that. We shared it in Philippians 4:19, and that my God shall supply all your need in Christ Jesus and because of Christ Jesus. All your need. Now, just as we go, we're going to go from the word gentleness to the word goodness. And so in sliding over, there's a bit of overlap, a bit of connection, where gentleness, meaning your need, goodness comes along in another direction, but it touches gentleness. Gentleness meets your need. That's what he's going to do. But goodness comes along to do the right thing to you, to help you in the right way. And if you need a spanking, you're going to get one. That's not found in gentleness. That's found in goodness. Now, and so to make the transition, so you see it, here's gentleness and gentleness, but it's translated goodness. Goodness, meeting your need. We want to look at it here, and then we'll go to the next, where it is in chapter 22, the word goodness. Gentleness, goodness. We're going to look at the word gentleness as we make the transition. Over to Romans. Romans in chapter 2. And in Romans in chapter 2, you'd remember a wonderful, awesome section on why we all need a Savior. And sliding down over to verse chapter 2 and verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doeth the same that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. In other words, we're telling you, we complain about what you did, but we do the same thing. So whenever we're very good at seeing the things we don't, the things that are wrong, because the old nature that's in you is in me. And it isn't any different in you than in me. It expresses itself differently based on experience and a whole lot of things. But it's the same dumb, old Adamic nature that's in each of us. So that's why we're pretty good at spotting what we don't like and complaining and doing everything we do. Now, so therefore, verse 4, what despisest thou the riches of his goodness, there's your word, and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness, there's your word, of God leadeth thee to repentance. So God, the goodness, the usefulness, useful to hand to another, to use, to meet the need. The goodness of God. And it's used in, it's used also in goodness. There's the word goodness, but actually it's the word gentleness. Gentleness, to reach out, to lend, to meet the need. Now, and we did it in one other place, you don't have to turn there, in Matthew in chapter 11, and in chapter 11, and verse 30 in that, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Verse 30, my yoke is easy. Easy, there's the word. Gentleness, easy, easy to meet the need. Easy. And it's used in Romans chapter 11, etc. And so, therefore, having got that, now tackle the next one. And that's the word goodness itself. Only this time, it's goodness, goodness. So we're going to go. And in the goodness of God. So looking, if you would, you already looked at Galatians, so hang on. And in that, Galatians 5:22 is the word goodness. Goodness. And that word, the root of that word, is to go to admire, to be admired, admired. To see something and admire it. But as it were, to see the goodness, that which is to be noted, admired, internal goodness, internal, the goodness. And so, having said that, and it matches in the Septuagint Greek translation, it manages the word tov, and you'll see that if you were reading Genesis 1, Chapter 1, and you go down to verse 31. And everything that God had made was very good. Not just, that's the word, good. It's very good, and we shared all that. Because what God started with, everything would be for the history of time. Everything that needed to be put in place was put in place. But history to work itself. Everything is in order. So therefore, the word good, good, Old Testament, is new, to admire. To admire that which is good. Now, having said that, in the light of that good, in God's wonderful goodness, goodness is to be admired, in internal, the internal wonderfulness of goodness, everything coming together. And when you look at it, we aren't going to use the word perfect now. We're going to use another word. Everything comes together and it's good. What God is doing is good. It's good. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you can, over to, remember what you, in Galatians 5, and verse 22, it is the Spirit of God's ministry to produce all of this wonderful life that God has given us. So his resurrected life. Hang on to that. So I'll say it to myself. Christ took me to the cross and I died. And he buried me. And then in the same instant, he gave me his life. Not life. I'm dead. I don't have the life of my mother and father. I have the life of God. That's what he gave me. His wonderful life to be outworked. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to do that. So, over to Ephesians. And putting that together. And you will note. In Ephesians. and in chapter Ephesians, and again chapter 5, and you'll pick it up. And chapter 5, Ephesians, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit, like Galatians 5:22, here in Ephesians 5:9, it is the Spirit of God, it's the fruit. And here it is again, in, as we said in verse 9. The Spirit of God's ministry is to provide the wonderful goodness of God in a wonderful, wonderful way, so that it is to be admired, looked at. It's overwhelmingly just good. Good. And you'll remember, without getting sidetracked too much, Genesis 3 and in verse 5. When Adam and Eve sinned, the devil tricked them and said, listen, you only know God's good. Shouldn't you know the evil? Shouldn't you know the evil? And if you take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll know like God knows. God knows bad. God knows good. And if you take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be able to be like God and know evil also. Why shouldn't you know evil? You know good. Why shouldn't you know evil? And he tricked them. And they lost what? The good. And remember, when we're looking at all of this, an easy way to, in case you ever forget, G-O-O-D. And if I take God out of G-O-D, take God out, G-O-D, what have I got left? Nothing. Just one zero. If I take God out of good, I have nothing. Good. Easy way to remember it. And Adam and Eve, and they tricked, the devil did his job to lose the good, to take the good from us and leave us with evil. And therefore, Ephesians, Isaiah, and all those different things. Well, God, what are we going to do? We're going to call good evil and evil good, so that we can live with it. Okay, now, so having said that and keeping that in mind and just following it, letting it just develop. So as you turn the pages, as you read the New Testament and God's word to our little old hearts, as we do that, what are we going to do? You would expect to find, and you do, God's wonderful person in Exodus, God's wonderful person in Matthew, God's wonderful person in Isaiah, God's wonderful person in Philippians. What are you looking for? The characteristic, I'm going to find God. So I have all these different righteousness and all holiness and all these words. I'm finding God everywhere. So over to 2 Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians, picking up if I may, and may I go, I'll pick up, it's a wonderful context. I'll read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And when we shall come to be glorified in, when he shall come, God, in Christ, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe, because that our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore, also, we pray always for you that, pray in what? What's the prayer? Because that our God would count you worthy of his calling, high, holy, heavenly calling. that he would count you of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, the little word good pleasure is one word, good pleasure. And well-pleasing, well, good pleasure, well-pleasing. Good design, good pleasure. It's God's good pleasure. So, and if I don't get too sidetracked here, just to see that. In other words, good pleasure, it's one word, good pleasure of his goodness. That's the word we're looking at. The good pleasure of his goodness, the pleasure of his goodness, that well, he's well pleased, his design, the design of his goodness to outwork each wonderful thing, to be admired, to be just what it should be in just the way it should be. Now, so therefore, and just to hold your finger here and see that, what we're looking at, just for the sake, if you were studying and thinking, you want to keep grabbing everything. You keep pulling in pieces, and the pile on your desk is like this. You're pulling in pieces. I want to understand that a little more, and that a little more, and that a little more, because I'm only going to understand this. But I have all of this coming at me to get this. I want to learn it. So that gives you something to do for homework when you're reading, to understand of all the Proverbs, of all things God, help us understand. Therefore, looking at good pleasure, the word good pleasure, one word, and look at it over where you'll see it, or if I can, in Ephesians 1. Now, this is just a sidetrack, looking at the word good pleasure just to see it, so you see it. It is good, God's good pleasure. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated to mark out ahead of time, to mark out the limit of where am I going, what are you telling me, God? It isn't about who, it's about what you're going to go to. Predestinated. You're looking ahead down the corridor of time. What's ahead of you? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, he wants us to be, he wants to be the Father, we're the children, to himself, according to his good pleasure, or the good pleasure of his will. It's his good pleasure to do so. That's pretty good. It's his good pleasure to do so. So I don't have to beg God. I don't have to cry about it. I just have to know that's what he's after. He's after the outworking of his good pleasure. Hang on to that for the morning. Now, sliding down while you're in Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, remember what you just read up in verse 5, according to the good pleasure of his will, slide down verse 9, the prayer, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, there it is again, the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. It's God's good pleasure. And you want to see the little word good pleasure again, where you see it often, we hear it, we quote it, Philippians in chapter 2. And in Philippians and in chapter 2, picking up, if I may, in verse 13, 2. It is God. Remember the end of verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can't do anybody else's. For it is God which worketh in you both to will. Remember what you just read in Ephesians, it's his will. It's his will. Here it is again. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's his good pleasure to do so. Now, having just made a note of that, back over to 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians, if I may, picking up in verse 11. I'll read it again. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure, of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Reason, verse 12, that, why are you doing this, God? That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified, where? In you, and you in him, and hang on to that. The morning message shall be so simple, and yet, anyway. Anyway, verse 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, relationship, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why his goodness. It is his good pleasure to be good, to show his goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness, goodness, goodness. The head and the heart to be ruled by what God is aiming at. God is aiming at, to do what? He wants to admire something, to see something. He wants to be able to go and see his goodness, to see that which is good. He wants it when it's done. He wants to paint the painting and hang it up on the wall where everyone can see, admire it. What he does in your life, he's going to show it forever, seated at the right hand of his Son. He's going to show his goodness to what he has done with us. Hang on to that. It'll come out better, I hope, by the end of the day. God help us. Now, got the idea. So what are we looking, God? The outworking of your good will and your good way for your good reasons. Now, another way to see it, over to, if you can, the Spirit of God's ministry, and to go over, if you can, to the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew chapter 7, and you will note in Matthew in chapter 7, and may pick up. And you will know verse 11, 7:11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things? There it is. If we know how to try to want to do good things, how much more does God want to do good things to his children, to them that ask him? So therefore, sliding down, if I can, verse 17. I'll even read background for it, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their, how do you know everything? By their fruits. You see the tree, you'll know what the tree is by the fruits. Fruits. And you'll know them by their fruit, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Beware. Verse I didn't mean to lose that. Let me do that better for you. Verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs, or figs of thistles? No, you certainly don't do that. Verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit, evil fruit. Now, verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And the word good there, just a little different word. The word we're looking at is the word good, that which is to be admired internally, the internal good that shows itself outwardly. This word, the word right you have at the end of verse 18, good fruit, is the external fruit, the good fruit, that which is external. In other words, you see the apples, the peaches, the bananas, you see them. The first word, you don't see them. You just, it's admired. They're just the very condition of the apple. The very reason for the apple is to be admired. This word is the word looking at the apple. You see the external apple. See it. It's good. So God is saying, verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. A corrupt tree does not show good fruit. In other words, a thorn bush will never show figs. It'll never show bananas. A corrupt tree, that which you can see, that which you can understand. Good, good. Now that's the word, just keeping that in mind. Now, having said that, good fruit. The tree is going to produce. Now all of this, and hang on again for the morning. John 15, I am the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. You have to abide in me. What are you doing? God, what are you saying to us? You need to have an exercise, a very personal, enjoyable experience of trusting me. As the branch abides in the tree and enjoys the life of the tree, I want you to enjoy your relationship to me. I want to be able to, you to abide in a most wonderful way and produce what? A good tree. God produces God. God produces the fruit of God, the life of God. You can't produce bad fruit. It can't do it. That's why God condemns your old nature. Boom. Dead. We keep trying to play with it theologically and otherwise. No. Dead. Stop, keep trying to do everything that I've already done. So now, keeping that, same in mind. So now, you get any idea? Another way, another word coming at it. Over, if you would please, to Ephesians and in chapter 2. Back over to Ephesians and in chapter 2, picking up again. And in chapter 2, you would note, Ephesians 2, and picking up in verse 10, and you know it. Wherefore, verse 10, excuse me, 2 and 10. I'll read verse, since I just mentioned it. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For, great reason, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's where all that happens on Calvary's cross. Unto what? Good works. Unto good works. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God's wonderful good works. God created you to show not the old sin nature. He crucified it. God saved you to show God's intended personal relationship to him, to himself. God expects us to enjoy a wonderful relationship to himself. Now hang on to that. That's what he expects. Even though we're in this body, which we're going to do also. Now, so the good works. So God has good works. As we shared it 7,000 times, God created you, and he died on the cross, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And God, in his wonderful, wonderful grace, went and died to what? To make possible all that sin took away, all that Adam's sin did to me, can be replaced by the last Adam who dies and saves me, saves us. To what? To give, restore to the human heart the intended life that God wants us to have, a unique relationship to himself. All the while now, we've got Adam to live with, our old sin nature. And we haven't got rid of Adam. So all of us look at all the other 8 billion or so people on planet Earth, and we look at all those people, and they're just like us. And David was just like us. And Moses was just like us. We're all there. And we house, and we house, and we have Adamic nature. We got it. So at the same breath, God saves us and gives us a unique relationship to himself. And he says, listen, you're going to enjoy. I already did it. I already did the job on Calvary's cross. I took care of it. But you're still in this body, and I have pardoned you, forgave you, etc. And I have given you what? A wonderful relationship to me. But, 1 Corinthians 15:50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So I have to get rid of this. But I want you here, Acts 1:8. You're my witness that I saved you just like them. They need to know that as I saved you, I can save them. Get the idea? Now, God can do it. So now, so therefore, God, you're going to work on what? Your good plan for my life and our lives on planet Earth in the light of our old nature, in the light of our assignment to bear witness to who you are. So therefore, the good works business. Philippians. Again. Philippians in chapter 1. And in Philippians in chapter 1, going if I can, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that which he hath begun, a good work in you. No? There's the word. The good work. But you're going to outwork the good work. That's right. And where's the good working? In you. In you. In me. Yeah. In you. How can that be? We stumble all around. We have nothing. We are nothing. Yeah. That's your old Adamic nature. that I want you to know I saved you, and you have a wonderful relationship to my Father by way our Lord said, by way of Lord's saving grace, we have a wonderful relationship to the Father. That's for real. So therefore, verse 6, be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The good works have to be outworked. That's what you're doing. You're letting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 24 hours a day, work, homeschool, pills and pain and everything else. What are you doing? You're outworking. You have moments on earth to be a witness to who he is. And therefore, but it is always, what are you always enjoying? You're enjoying his good working. That's what you enjoy. But it doesn't look like it. No, it's true. And we can do a 100 things in the wrong way. And we do them. I don't do them. If I could ever do anything wrong, I know how to do it. I don't even have to work at it. That just comes out. Boy, you drop this, you pick up that, all kinds of things. Yeah. And then you say, and then you drop it again and can't find it. And so what can I tell you? So God's working. Yeah, God's wonderful working. Colossians. Colossians in chapter 1, and you will note, Colossians 1, and in verse, I'll read verse 10, then the prayer. God, what do you want for us? That, what's your purpose, God? That you might walk worthy, balance the scale, walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Being fruitful in every good work. Every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what you're doing. God's good. He may discipline. The good may require a spanking, but so be it. Now, having said that, keeping that good. Now, 2 Thessalonians, again, good, we're looking at God's good working. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. Remember verse 11, but now chapter 2, verse 16. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope. Good. A wonderful, wonderful anticipation for the outworking. The outworking is to be wonderfully looked for. The expectation, the anticipation is a good one. Good hope, through grace. And verse 17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. God's wonderful outworking. That's what's going to go in God's wonderful way and take place for his honor and his glory. God's good, we're going to keep good working. And you can go, if you can, over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 9. 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 9. If I can. And picking up, please, you'll see it in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, Why? Why? What reason? Because that you always having all sufficiency, you always have enough in all things. Why does God want us to be able to do what he wants us to do? That we may abound to every good work. God wants to outwork his good working. And that's why you get out of bed in the morning. That's why you go to work, go to school, and do everything you have to do the way we do it. God has to outwork his good working in his most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, over to Hebrews. You get any idea? As you turn the pages, you get the idea. It's just wonderful, simple. It's a wonderful relationship. I just need to practice the thing. Do it. Over to Hebrews. And in Hebrews, chapter 13. And you'll catch it as you come to the end of the book of Hebrews, as you're doing that. And remembering, if you would, as you do it, chapter 13, verse 21. And I'll read verse 20. And I beseech you, the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. And now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Verse 21, make do what? Make you perfect, complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. To him be glory. God's good working. God has saved you to outwork his life / good works. He wants to go and outwork his life in our life. Our life is now his life. And we outwork that life. And that's what we do. And it's all what? It's all good. It's all good. No matter how lousy it may seem. It's always good. That's the bad part. We got the tree, the old sin nature's there, Adam's there, and that's what we look at. But thank God, we can reckon it dead. So when we go to bed at night, or get out of bed in the morning, thank you, God, new every morning by your mercies and faithfulness. And God, when I go to bed, thank you. You can put all of my whole day and take out of it that which honors you to the cross and leave it. Thank you. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with yesterday. I'm all finished. I leave it with you. New day tomorrow. Great is thy faithfulness. New every morning by your mercies. So now, having said that a little bit, and in the process, I can't do that part because don't have time. And since I'm close to going over, but not over yet, where are you, Adam? I'm not over yet. Got a minute. Now, what do I do? I'll give you just a thought. If we took time, and we're going to do two things, our Lord said one. Our Lord said, remember the fellow said, what can I do? What good can I do to fulfill the law? And God said, there is no good. There is no good. I am not. And the Lord said, I am not good. Huh? Now, why did you say that, God? I've got something to look at. Why did you say that? I'm not good. I'll have to think about that. You got it? Okay. Thank you for that. Hope you got a little bit. Have a good day.